Tim's going to keep us awake, not just with his sermon, but with his trousers. Father God, thank you for our brother Tim. Thank you for the word you've put on his heart. I pray, Lord, that you will speak through him to us, that it will land on good soil and grow and change us. So, Lord, will you please speak to us now through your servant and our brother Tim. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Really, such a joy to be here. I love being able to get this opportunity to come up and preach. I'm really excited, as you can see by the red trousers. Today, guys, I would ask you to listen really carefully. There's a lot of challenge in today, but there's a lot of life. And God's word is amazing. I'd like to just pray as well as we start. Father God, I love you so much. We love you, Jesus. And today, we want to meet you, Jesus. We want to meet you through your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and speak through me. Come and speak to us. We rebuke Satan right now. In Jesus' name, you are gone. And we welcome you here. We lay aside all that we've had this week. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yes, so Romans 7, wow, a challenge. When I saw it, I thought, oh, this sounds good. And then I kept reading it. And I must have read this about 100 times now. And I still don't fully get it. But thankfully, the Holy Spirit will speak to us. And hopefully we will understand and get a lot out of it. So can we just start off? I'd love to just declare this together. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 to 57 says this: the sting of death is sin, and the power of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And today I want to talk to you about the victory we can have over sin through our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by walking in step with the Holy Spirit. Romans is an amazing book. I would really encourage you to go away and read it. I find when I read it, I can't help but keep reading it. It sort of flows very well. It's hard to just read one bit. The way Paul writes is it's continuous. So go away and have a read of it again. It's really important. Martin Luther said this amazing thing, really powerful. He says, this epistle is really the chief part of the New Testament and the very purest gospel, and is worthy not only that every Christian should know it word for word, wow, that's a challenge, by heart, but occupy himself with it every day as the daily bread of the soul. It can never be read or pondered too much. And there is more, and the more it's dealt with, the more precious it becomes and the better it tastes. And I think that's true. So today I'm going to be sharing a little bit, but I would encourage you to go away and have a look, a lot more of it. Let's go directly to God's word as such. And I think it's important that we just define this concept of sin. Now, sin is a heavy, weighty word that everyone goes, oh no, he's going to preach hellfire and brimstone on us now. But it is really important that we grasp this concept. 1 John 3, 4 says, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. So it's quite clear that sin is breaking the law, lawlessness. The law, meaning God's law, that given to us in the Word of God. Mainly if we have a look at the first five books of the Old Testament, we can see the law of Moses. And that was a big part for the Old Testament or the Old Covenant there. So, but Jesus comes in and says in Matthew, he says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. And so Jesus is saying here that it's not just breaking the law physically, whereby if you, let's say, commit murder, obviously that is an obvious way of breaking the law, but also in our hearts and in our minds. He says, you know, if you even think about committing adultery, you have sinned. Romans 3:10 and 3:23, no one is righteous, not one, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I'm going to come on to a little bit later, but it's really important in Romans 3, and this is a bit of the theme that I have today, not to dwell in and on the sin, because within that, we're not left stranded. We're never left stranded. Jesus has made a way. We are given a way through Christ to overcome sin. We're going to have a look at that a little bit more later. So let's look at Romans 7. I think this is one of the most honest parts of Scripture. St. Paul, the most amazing evangelist, the one of the leaders of the faith, as you would say, is here expressing the struggles that he has with sin. Verse 7, let's have a look at that. Let's break down a little bit what's trying to be said. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would have not known sin, for I would not have known what it is to covet, if the law had not said, you shall not covet. So what Paul is trying to say here, he's dismissing the fact of people saying that the law is sinful. God's law, that which we have in the Bible, is perfect and pure. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so we can't then say that the law of God is in any way evil or wrong. But what he is saying is that it highlights his wrong. It highlights the sin in his life. He says, but sin, seizing an opportunity, verse 8, through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. So it was the law that highlighted this sin of coveting, wanting what his neighbor would have, wanting things that he didn't have. And he admits to this. So sin is the issue here, not the law, although the law highlights the sin. So we move now on to the bit from verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. I think those are so honest and so powerful words. First of all, for we know that the law is spiritual. So Paul is again identifying that the law is of the Spirit. It is God. God's word was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Verse 15, for I do not understand my own actions. And so just to bring this down to earth, we all have things in our lives that we struggle with. Sin and issues and temptations. And we could spot and name them today, but I know the Holy Spirit will be speaking to each of us here and what they are. And sometimes, very interestingly, Paul says, I don't understand my own actions. And so Paul is wrestling with himself here. I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. So it's like he knows that he shouldn't be doing certain things or has these challenges, but he does them anyway. So verse 16 says, now if I do not do what I want, I agree with the law. That is good. So now it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So he's talking about how the sin is sort of tearing him down. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, and that is in my flesh. So he's making this big distinction of the law and sin in his life that's been highlighted by the law, and how his flesh, his body, his own self is at war. So his heart is willing, but his flesh is weak. Jesus says that later on. as well. So he goes on and says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Verse 24. That is so honest and so powerful. And I think we could learn a lot from that as well, in that we need to recognize that actually we are all sinners. We are all and have fallen short. But here comes some of the most amazing promises. He says in verse 25, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." So Romans 7, if you could ever describe it as this, leaves us as and in a depressed state. It's quite heavy, hey? It's quite hard to understand. And it's probably, I would say, the rock bottom point of that part of Romans. So Romans 7 hits this sort of hard rock bottom point. But we can't stop there. And I felt that it's really important that we go on to have a look into Romans 8 and some of the application. So, having had this, if I just imagine, so we've just read through this, we're going to go straight into Romans 8, where it says, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And wherever we see a therefore in Scripture, it has to go with what has just happened. And so you can't take Romans 7 just on its own. So when you go away and read this, read it together with Romans 8. I'm only going to touch on the very first little bit because there's some very helpful principles of how we can apply it. So it says, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So my first main application point is this: let us be in Christ Jesus. So a lot of us here have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And it's important, though, that we revisit our salvation. We revisit the hope that we have. Interesting that Satan is the accuser. So Satan condemns us in verse 1 of Romans 8. There is no condemnation. And then for those who are in Christ Jesus. So Satan's main tactic is to condemn us. The law of the Spirit brings life. Verse 2. God says, "I've come to give you life and life to the full." So in Romans 7, we see the effect of the law of sin and how it attacks our bodies and tries to lead us to death. But Romans 8, Jesus clearly comes to give us life. The flesh is weak, but God is strong. Verse 3 of Romans 8. He became flesh. And guys, this is the most amazing promises that we have, that Jesus took upon himself on the cross our sin. He crucified it. He took it upon him, and it has been defeated. Jesus condemned sin. So it says at the end of verse 3, he condemned sin in the flesh. So Satan tries to come and condemn us and say, "Look at all the mess that you've done wrong. Look at all the rubbish in your life." But Jesus flips it around and says, "No, I'm going to condemn and defeat the sin. I'm not going to condemn you." So we're not condemned. So Jesus has smashed death. We don't have to be dead any longer. The sin that leads to death has been defeated by Jesus. Romans 3 says this: this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ To all who believe, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. And this is what I shared earlier. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace, through redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So if we just stay in the sinful nature, the sort of condemnation, we're stuck. We are condemned. But Jesus says we're justified freely by his grace in Romans 3, through the redemption that comes by Christ Jesus, through the shedding of his blood, to be received by faith. An interesting other point that I just want to say is that Jesus is able to say your sins are forgiven. Two accounts where Jesus says this. In Matthew 9, where that guy's lowered through the roof and he is paralyzed, and Jesus clearly says to him, your sins are forgiven, get up and walk. The sinful woman who washes Jesus' feet in Luke 7 says, your sins are forgiven. So what I'm trying to paint here is that Jesus has freed us and has forgiven us of our sins. My second main point is this. The power of the Holy Spirit is what we have to exercise and use as a Christian. Romans 8:11 says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. How tremendous, how awesome, how wonderful that the Spirit of God that rose Jesus from the dead. Guys, I'm sorry, but this is amazing, okay? Jesus, who was risen again through the power of the Holy Spirit, lives in you. I know I'm getting really ecstatic about it, but that is a truth that will change your life forever. That if you can apply the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit in your life, what could stop you? Death can't even stop you. My goodness, it's amazing. Obviously, that is a theory, and I want to show you how we can walk in that. The key to consistent Christian living is walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, living and walking. Let's have a look at Galatians 5, please, verse 16. If you could turn there in your Bibles, that would be wonderful. Galatians 5, verse 16. Very similar to Romans 8. Verse 16 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then it goes on and talks about all those aspects of sin and then the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. And then in verse 25 it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And so, to overcome this area of sin, this wretched body that I live in, these temptations that are thrown our way by Satan, we need to walk by and in the Holy Spirit. Walking is an active thing. It doesn't say, but I say sit down in the Holy Spirit, or kind of have a little lie down, or just stop. It doesn't say die by the Spirit, does it? It says live. And so this is an active part that the Christian has to exercise. And here are two key principles that have changed my life totally and absolutely. One is this: the Word of God renews and refreshes and washes your mind. And if you daily keep in step with the Word of God, reading the Bible, He will help you keep in step with the Spirit. That is part of this concept of keeping in step with the Spirit. Romans 12 says this: do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can discern His perfect and pleasing will, what it is, so that you can test and approve that. So, reading God's word every day, it's so important. It will help us keep in step with the Spirit. And a second life-changing point, which will not be new to anyone, is talking to God in prayer. It's an active thing to speak to God and be in a regular conversation with God. But I found it really interesting in Matthew 26, He says this. So this is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus has gone to pray in the sort of last moments or hours as such, almost of His life. And He takes His disciples with Him. And He goes away and prays, and He sort of leaves them a little bit further away. And they fall asleep. And He comes back and says this: watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So I feel I've tapped into, guys, here, a principle in the Bible that directly relates to Romans 7. Here is Paul saying, I have this battle of the sin. I don't even know how he says it, but it's quite a mouthful. In other words, he's saying that my spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so the very thing that Jesus teaches his disciples is to watch and pray. And so we could learn a lot from that, to take some time every day to speak to God, to talk to Him, to pray with Him. And for me as well, a really important part of that is praying in the Spirit on all occasions, Ephesians 6. Praying in tongues. Now, I know this sometimes could be a sort of tough area. People may not say that I need to. I would highly recommend exercising that gift, the gift of speaking in tongues. It's so helpful. In my preparation for this, I have had to do that to understand the things of the Spirit, to walk in the way of the Holy Spirit. And so that is another really helpful application. So now, just coming in to close, imagine you're out mowing the lawn. I know it's a bit wet at the moment, and you probably wouldn't mow the lawn at this sort of time. And you're in a bit of a rush, and it's the end of the day, and you quickly get that lawnmower out, and you sort of got your little patch to mow, and you're going along, and the lawnmower drives to a halt. And it's run out of fuel. And that has happened to me quite a few times, and I'm sure possibly to some of you. And it's really frustrating. And it is simply due to this principle that there was no more fuel in the tank. Therefore, there could be no more power. And so the Holy Spirit in us is like the fuel for the Christian. And if we decide to go 1, 2, 3, 4 days a week, a month, without regularly saying, Holy Spirit, come and help me, come and lead me, come and fill me, and to do that by reading His word daily, by praying constantly, by talking to God, by having a relationship with Him, our tank will run empty. Here's another example. Imagine you've got an oil lamp, okay? I know it's a bit old-fashioned, we don't really have them anymore, but the principle of oil in that lamp will allow for that light, that fire, to burn constantly. As soon as that oil runs out, the light goes out, goes off. And in fact, then what happens is the wick will start to try and burn a bit until that wick burns out or uses its own energy. And my point is this, is that without a constant filling of the oil of God, the Holy Spirit, we run dry. And I think that is a really important point for us to grasp. So that is what I feel to share with you today. Paul struggled with this. He hit or shares this sort of rock bottom point. He was perplexed. He's like, why am I sinning? What is going on? But he then comes quickly and says, thanks be to Jesus, who's given me the victory. That if I walk in the Spirit, I will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So here's three responses for us today. One, if anyone here has not come to know Jesus or feels that in any way they've drifted away, Jesus says, have faith in me, believe in me. Romans 3, believe in the Lord Jesus. And two, for us, for who may be someone who might be struggling here, struggling with sin, struggling with issues in our life, struggling with that condemnation, not understanding our actions, God gives us help through the power of the Holy Spirit. Just be reminded that the Holy Spirit is the advocate. He fights on your behalf. And finally, and for everyone, I would hope this would be our response, a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Just another infilling, a fueling up, a re-oiling, a filling up of the oil. So can I please ask up the band to just come up, and we'll just take a little bit of time to respond to those points.